mind, Lord God, to be a doer. Lord God, tonight, Lord God, we ask that you would hide Brother Tim behind your cross. Lord God, Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord God, that you would be edified tonight. Lord Jesus, and we ask in your name, in the holy righteous name of Jesus, Lord, that you would push back the enemy. Lord God, that you would drive back. Lord, that you would bind, Lord, the haters of light. Lord, that you would bind devil, Satan, serpent, dragon. Oh, oh, precious Lord, we love you so much tonight. Lord God, Rabo Sahaya. Lord, in all of these things, in the name of Jesus, we ask. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, lift them up one more time. Yeah. Hallelujah! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Y'all can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. All the time.
God is good.
I didn't know y'all was going to do that. God give me something to say tonight. That's exciting right there. I'm looking through my notes that I wrote scribbly, and I'm looking through my notes that I wrote real neat. Well, hold on just a second. I don't have any of them second kind. God is good. I'm surprised y'all didn't say all the time. I was like, I just want to say God is good every once in a while. I don't have to be a response thing. You know? But y'all know he's good. I am glad to have my buddy Redis here tonight, man. He's talking to me on the phone a couple of days, and we've had a couple of prayer meetings on the phone and everything else, ain't we? But when you talk to Redis on the phone, you don't know, number one, how long it's going to last or what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. So that's good, though, man. You know, it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah,
talks
more than you.
Oh, you don't even know. It ain't even close. Well, there's somebody's going, no, it's pretty close. Oh, man. No, yeah, I hear you, brother. Brother Matt, thank you for bailing me out. We're going to go to Song of Solomon.
Amen.
That's where I've been studying. And, you know, I'm always trying to teach wherever I'm studying. And I was thinking when I got ready to talk about the Song of Solomon, I just so many things started rolling over in my mind. You know, you don't have to get very far into it before, you know, it's my time to be studying. Isn't that powerful, Sister Melina? Whenever you start to study someplace and you're like, because I've been anticipating being there for a while, but I just like, now the Lord's like, no, don't do that yet, don't do that yet. And then now I'm there and it's exciting. And I know that the Lord's leading me there. And what I wanted to do tonight before we get to, I just want to share one principle. The first lesson, the first preparation that the bride had to do once you started becoming a bride. Before I do that, I want to stir up everybody's pure mind by way of remembrance a little bit. I want to testify a little bit. Because that's what this is to me. Because this is a journey we're in going on for God. It's mountains, valleys. You get started. Remember when you got started, how excited you were?
Amen.
Remember that vision you had? And, man, I'm telling you what, buddy, did not anything.
Amen.
Nothing was too high of a price to pay for what the Lord showed you.
That's right.
Nothing was too high of a price to pay. I spent very little bit. Somebody lift up the name and praise the Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Oh, woo! Thank you, Jesus. When I got saved, I spent a very short amount of time. See, when you're in the world, before you meet Jesus, all you think God is about is getting out of hell. And I spent all the way leading up to whenever I gave my heart to Jesus, that's all it was about. Oh, if I die, I'm going to go to hell. If I die, I'm going to go to hell. If I die, I'm going to go to hell. Scared to death, but dumb as a rock. Scared to death, dumb as a rock. Walk out the door every time, keep doing your same thing.
Yeah.
You thought, man, so one day I got so convicted that I just said, man, I'm going to have to start hanging around with these crazy people. I got to get saved, man. I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. And then I found out it wasn't about hell. Isn't that so awesome? That's all it was about until I surrendered. And then it was never about that anymore. I spent about that much time thinking about going to hell since I died to my flesh. Since I got saved. Since I gave my heart to Jesus. And so what happened was, and I want to testify because we have similar experiences. We're in the same family for a reason. We're in the same spiritual. This is where, you've seen that thing grow where you're planted, abide in the calling wherein you've been placed, or I don't know exactly how that scripture goes. This is our calling. It's to be in the bride of Jesus Christ. And man, I tell you what, when we first found out about it, we believed we could go. There wasn't no doubt about it, was it, Brother Reedus? When you first found out about being in a bride, there wasn't no doubt that you could go and be in a bride, Brother Jim. Sure we could, absolutely. I said, mate, God blew the top off, and he started just rolling. I started going to Bible studies.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, first I got saved, and then I was just like, I'm going to hang around with these people. You know, these people, they had a badger skin on them. They weren't the cool people. They didn't have a cigarette in one hand, a beer in the other, and talk about how cool they was. They wore skirts and times whenever nobody else would wear them. They talked a different way. They carried Bibles underneath their arms. I was in high school when I got saved. They carried Bibles with them to class. Total squares. I didn't know yet it was really cool to be a square.
Right. That's right.
Amen. I married a big square. I am proud of that. She is too. I started going to Bible studies. You know, I got to start hanging around with these people, right? You got to do something different, God. Because what happened, I realize now, and I don't even know the extent to which it happened. God pulled the veil back. He pulled all that enemy that was down on me, that was affecting every decision I made, that I had invited into my life, that by the way I acted, the things I listened to, what I watched, where I went, all of that stuff was pushed back. And I had a little freedom around me for a little while. And God moved his people right in. Ain't that powerful? That is so awesome. When I look back at the way he did it, I like the way you do it. Woo! I hope you get excited about your testimony. Because, man, I'm getting excited about mine just telling it. So we started talking about it's a bunch of high school kids. And one guy barely out of high school. And we started talking about, and I'd go to these Bible studies, and people be, and there was one guy in particular that was in our Bible study that was very, like, science-oriented, and he was very interested in stuff. And so he was always throwing out little tidbits about there's 99 other worlds.
Oh, yeah.
And throwing out little things like, well, there's more than just one place of abode. It's not just heaven or hell. There's actually new heaven, new earth, new city, lake of fire.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
Then he started, I wrote down a couple degrees of growth. I started finding out that was tied to your degrees of growth, and I could go on and on. The different things that started pricking my mind, and the more I heard about this stuff, there was something I got to thinking about it. You know, my good friend Steve Phelps and several people that I've heard of had testimonies because Steve was spirit seed.
Yeah.
He was, wasn't he? Don't you think, Melina? Yeah. When he walked in the back door of the church and he heard that intercession, he knew he was home. He heard that, and some people walk in and go, whoa. That little boy next door come in. He goes, man, they're playing that ghost music again. I thought, that's what it sounds like if you don't know what it is. He come in. Little kids used to play outside, and they'd get hot, and they'd come in and get a drink, and we'd be having prayer service. He's like, man, are they playing that ghost? I was like, I can totally see why he said that. But I got to thinking about it. My moment was, and I think because I grew up, because I think I was a spirit seed who kind of, God wants us to be balanced. So no matter what kind of seed you are, you're going to get in on the other side somewhere. When I came in, I guess I was used to that because I fell asleep underneath the benches at prayer meeting. All my parents did was go to church. And so I knew about all that stuff. And the last thing in the world I wanted to do as soon as I got old enough was ever go to church again. I thought, man, if I could just get out of here, I'll never come back, But when I came back, so I guess all that stuff I was used to, But man, when I started hearing that level of word and just little hints, just a little hint here, just a little hint there, man, in a 2-week period, we were off on Christmas break. Y'all know how it is when you go to high school, when you're in school, you're off on Christmas break. You got 2 weeks off. Man, God, man, I mean, wore me out in them 14 days and 16 days, whatever it is you're off there. And I mean, man, I started getting pumped for the word. And the more I heard, the more I wanted. The more I heard about it, the deeper I wanted to go. The more I wanted to dive in.
Yes.
It was exciting. I wanted to go. I wanted to go all the way. I got a few other things I wrote down here. All of a sudden, the things that have been like turning me off, I didn't care. The things that would have put me off, like being separated, like hanging around a bunch of holy roller, because everybody knew who the holy roller, at least I did, because I came from that. So I was like, oh, there's the holy roller people. Ooh, I don't want nobody to know, because if I walk by, they'll be like, hey, there's Brother Hinton's grandson. Now everybody knows I'm not really cool because I'm a preacher's grandson. You know what I mean? I mean, that, I tell you, the devil, get your old flesh and your devil works together to get everything twisted. But all of a sudden, I didn't care about that anymore. Man, I said, what do I need to do? I need to wear long sleeves all the time in the middle of 100-degree weather? I'll do it. I said, I don't care what it is. I said, you tell me something else I got to take off. Tell me something else I got to do. I want to do it, I want to do it, I want to do it, because there wasn't any price that was too high to pay. There wasn't nothing. Because God gave me, by gift, a vision of being in the bride. And I tell you, that's been rekindled getting into this Song of Solomon book, man. It has just been... That's what we all started out doing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I look around every once in a while and be like, is there anybody in here that don't know what I'm talking about? I don't think so. I prayed on my face tonight for God to renew people's visions of what we got in this thing and what we started going on for in the first place. And if somebody had never had a vision, I pray God they'd get one.
Amen.
Of what? Because I tell you, we are not playing around. That we have given our whole life to this. And there's a reason why. That is hidden from the wise and the prudent. It's revealed in the babes. You're not ever going to see. I don't care, people. I don't know why do they do what they do. You're not ever going to know. We're going to learn a little bit about why people look at you like that. But let me see what else I got down here. Probably said all that. So, here's the part I've been in for a while. We had that real quick trip from the time, the Passover night. Everybody know what I'm talking about? The night that our spiritual Passover, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, I think it is, tells us everything happened to the children of Israel, happened to us, it was an example for us. So we can go back. So why do you read the Old Testament for? Because read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. I'll tell you why I read the Old Testament. Read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and it'll tell you why I read the Old Testament. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, and somewhere in there, it tells you that everything that happened to children of Israel was for our example. Well, man, the whole Old Testament, that's what it's all about. It's all the stuff that happened to Israel. So everything that happened to us from the time we got the blood of Jesus in that Passover experience. Was it 2 or 3 days, Pastor, till they got to the Red Sea?
Yeah.
Like they had like 2 camp out nights and it was real quick. And then they hit the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right. Now it wasn't a real long journey to get over where they needed to be, but it took a little bit longer than it should have.
That's right.
It took a little bit longer. We got in that, and it's something I want to say. I hope it encourages people. I hope it encourages people. I got to get a drink. Somebody do whatever you want to. I got to get a drink. I might need to get 2 of them.
Do it.
So then we hit this wilderness experience. And then that vision you had by gift, all of a sudden it kind of got a little dim, because God started putting things. He prepared a table for us. He started making all things work together for our good. He started working on it. The Bible says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He started shining the light on our heart, and it hurt. It hurt to see that we're in such a bad shape. I couldn't get over myself. I'll be honest with you. It took me a long time. I still ain't over myself, but I mean, I finally got enough sense to ignore me. Ignore my old man. But he started shining the light, and it hurt. And I want, what I wanted to say about that was, be careful. Because if you're an introspective person and you're really willing to be self-examining, when God starts shining that light on you, you might let yourself think that he's shining the light on you so he can show you 100% for sure you don't deserve to make it. 100% for sure you've got so many bad things in you that, yeah, you're really not cut out to do this thing about being in the bride. 100% sure that, yeah, I'm just not good enough. Because if we don't watch out and we don't pay attention, now, is that what the light's for? That's not what the light's for, to show us that we can't do it. That's what the enemy does when we get the light shine down in our heart and God shows us that hatred we have for our brother, that desire we have that's ungodly, whatever it is, that ugly thing that Brother Reardon sings about that's in our heart, that it's in that place we don't want to go. God is not showing you that so he can make sure that you 100% know that you can't make it. God is showing you that because you said, Lord, I want to make it.
Yeah.
I got down a whole lot and prayed, God, I want to make it no matter whatever it takes. And I did that when I was in my right mind. When I was going on for God, when I had my wherewithal about me, I prayed, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to make it. And then here we are. We're still here. That's exciting. But what that prayer did was it set some stuff in motion.
Yeah, it did.
So we got the light shined on us and we didn't like it.
Right.
Because if we didn't have Jesus in our heart and we were just living like everybody else, we'd just tell everybody else how wrong they were.
Right.
And we'd go sew up in a corner and pout a little bit and get hard and mad and just live any way we wanted to. And that seemed like that was the funnest thing to do at that time.
Yeah.
But it ain't fun. No. Because the end of it, the enemy shows you, he never shows you the end.
Right.
It's a hard, bitter heart, a person that dies with a lot of regrets.
Yeah.
So what he did was he shined that light because we said we want to make it no matter what. And by him shining that light, and he didn't just shine the light. He shined the light, but he also gave us the provision. God has really been working on me to be grateful for the provision that he gave us. You know, we say, oh, man, we got blood, fire, and water going to take me home.
Yeah.
He gave us the blood, fire, and at a great expense,
yes.
At a great cost, personal cost to himself. He gave us the blood. He gave us the fire. He gave us the water. So then all of a sudden we got these tools that we can see. When he shines the light, we can say, Lord, cleanse me with your blood. Lord, wash it away burn it up with the fire. Lord, wash it away with the water. And if we don't watch out, we just say that stuff over and over again. It don't mean nothing. But what would we do if we didn't have that stuff?
Right.
Where would we be if we didn't have the blood, fire, and water?
Amen.
We'd be dead and in hell.
Yes. Yes.
The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So he gave us that light so we could use the provisions that he gave us. And we could say, Lord, I'm a mess. But I haven't changed my mind. I still want to go.
Yes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The first haymaker I took from the enemy, man, it knocked me out. Poof. You know, it might have knocked me out for 6 months, a year and a half or whatever. You say, well, really, I didn't notice. Yeah, because you can't see because man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart.
Right. Right.
The first haymaker I took from the enemy, Brother Reedus, it knocked me back. And I thought, man, I ain't no better than these other. Now everybody's going to know I'm a big fake. Because all I could focus on, because at that time I had this little pinpoint of Jesus,
yeah.
Which, by the way, is all you need.
Yeah.
One little tiny seed in that heart.
Yes.
That's all you need to get started.
Yeah.
But I had 99.9% junk. And it didn't take nothing for something to happen. And I got let down. And I got disappointed. And I was lusting after this. And I was wishing I could have a cigarette. And I was wishing I could do whatever it was. As soon as God took that little gift time I had, and man, I just thought, Lord, help, but you know, God used that. I wanted to say this tonight while I was talking. He's our rabbi. And that's powerful. Rabbi means, it doesn't just mean teacher, it means my teacher.
Yeah.
Lord, you're my, he's our great teacher. So while you're getting haymakers, punched in the left jaw, punched in the right jaw, laying flat on your back going, what just happened? God ain't worried one bit about it because he's fixing to use all that to teach you something. He's fixing to show you how bad it is so you can really appreciate what he's getting ready to do. He don't miss a chance to teach something. Now, as parents, we're all parents. Not all of us aren't parents, but all of us that are parents, we know that, man, sometimes we miss a chance to teach a good lesson. God don't do that. Isn't that reassuring? It's not like, oh, man, I went through this major big thing in my life. It took me like a year and a half to get over it. God forgot to teach me a couple of things. I'm going to have to go all the way back through that. No, that's not going to happen.
Thank you, God.
Hey, oh, thank you, Lord. And he knows exactly what it takes, Brother Matt, to get you to the new city.
Yes.
And I don't believe he gave us a vision of being in the bride and then told us we can't do it.
Right.
But there are some conditions we're going to have to meet. Now, people don't want to hear that, but come on, that's the truth. I didn't say there's some conditions you're going to have to meet to be able to be saved from the penalty of sin. There is not the only condition you have to meet is to accept the free gift that Jesus Christ gave you, and you are saved. And if you don't understand what I'm getting ready to say after that, well, just, I don't know. I pray God help you, because that's not what we're saying. We've never preached that. I've never been taught that one time in my life that I had to earn my salvation. But I tell you what, I'm going to have to meet some conditions if I'm going to keep walking on with him. It's in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. It's not just a principle on one page. It's everywhere. You've got to grow. Jesus is not going to marry a baby. That's something else I wanted to say tonight. We all understand that being a baby is one of the stages of growth, right? But I want you to think about something. You never really saw yourself as one. If you got saved on Wednesday morning, by Wednesday night, you were thinking, man, back when I used to be a baby on Wednesday morning. You see what I'm saying? We never really saw ourselves as a baby, did we, Brother Jim? Every time we heard that baby stuff, it was for somebody else.
Right.
But then God made sure we would know when we was a baby, Brother Reedus. You know how he did it?
Oh, yeah.
He said, did you ask why?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going, why, God, why? It's okay. We all did it. We all still do it. Because we can be a baby at any level, on any point or any part of our life. Why, God, why? Let's go to Song of Solomon. We'll talk about it a little bit. We're going to go to the first chapter, second verse. God is good. Saints, this is what we started out. We want to be in the bride. And we can be in the bride. And we're going to find out. The Word of God says that for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, I got discouraged because I made it all about me. I thought, man, there's no way I can do it. But then God, we can't do it. But when I'm weak, then is he made strong? Am I saying that? And we thought that's when it was over. When we figured out that we were when we got to the end of our rope and we couldn't do it, we thought that's when it was over. But God, it was just getting started.
Amen.
The Lord, the master teacher, the potter, the great potter, had us on the wheel.
Yeah.
And he said, man, I finally got them now to where I can work them a little bit.
Yeah.
They finally figured out they can't do it. Now I can do something. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Now, I ain't made it there yet because I keep talking. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah,
Jeremiah,
Lamentations. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. But the truth of the matter is we've all been babies.
Amen.
And wherever we're at, we gotta just grow from there. There's no shame in it. I tell you what, I'm so sick of my flesh. I don't know about you all, but I praise God. I'm so tired of my pride. I say all the time, Lord, save me from my foolishness.
Yeah,
Lord, save me from my... Because I want my name to be made known, Brother. I want everybody to know how awesome I am.
That's it.
And I am such a not awesome that it don't help anything. If we go around with our chest popped out, I could care. I want to get to the place, man. I don't care. See, this bride, I tell you, you can read. So, has anybody ever thought, man, I can't read that song of Solomon. It don't make no sense to me. Who's ever thought that? I wanted y'all to raise your hand. I didn't say that, but I thought somebody would. I have too. You can read it. The devil don't want you reading it. The Bible says you read it, you're blessed if you just read it. You just read it. You read it over and over and over. I've read it a lot and listened to it a lot. I listen to the Bible a lot. You don't be listening to a lot of junk. Quit doing that. Listen to the Bible. It's that simple. Huh? That's it. Quit listening to junk. Quit wasting your time on stuff that's going to burn up whenever Judgment Day comes. What's the difference? I ain't saying we don't need to have any hobbies or stuff God wants to, but if it ain't something God can teach you in, get out of it. It's not good. There you go. You want that? Is that plain enough, Pastor? It really is, man. It really is. But we're talking about, we want to be in this relationship that we heard about. And everybody in this room got excited about it at one point.
That's right.
I mean, man, it turned my crank. Dude, I was walking one way one day, and I mean, 2 or 3 days later, I was walking the other way fast as I could go, begging for somebody to tell me something else I could do to please God. That's powerful. And he gave me a vision of being in the bride, and something, I just knew something. And that's who we are. That's what this church is. That's what this group of people, that's what we have in common. Let's read. This is the Song of Solomon. This is the song of the bride. Isn't that powerful? This is the book that everybody thinks ought to be in the Bible, but nobody wants to read it because nobody really understands it. We had a pastor, we had a teacher that understood it. I tell you, man, I'm grateful for this message. I'm grateful for the messenger. I'm so happy for my pastor, Brother Hinton, of a million years, however long. I'm only 53, but I'm so happy for his pastor, Reverend B.R. Hicks. I'm so happy for this message. This is God's gift to us. Now, I'm not taking one thing away from somebody that's not in this family. Because God give them a gift too. And I hope they're as learned to be as grateful as God has taught me to be grateful for what he's given us. And I don't understand it, but all I know is we're here. And we're a Bible-believing church. I don't have anybody telling me, don't read this part of the Bible, don't read that part of the Bible. Go get this version that we created because it's the only right one. No, I don't have anybody telling me that. And I know from my own experience, I used to go to convention, and I know I'm getting old, and I say a lot of the same stuff. Just come on, get with me. That's okay. I used to go to convention, and I couldn't understand a word Sister Hicks was talking about. She preached for 3 hours, and I heard 5 minutes of it. It made sense to me. You know what was my problem, Brother Reedus? I didn't know my Bible. I didn't read my Bible. Because when I started reading just my Bible, just reading my Bible. Now, I didn't say anything else. When I read all the way through my Bible, and then I committed to reading my Bible every day, then I go back and let the Lord show. Then all of a sudden, when I go back and listen to Sister Hicks preach, all of a sudden the stuff makes sense. Because she thinks she's talking to people who read their Bible every day. I had to get a little bit loud, wake y'all up a little bit. Song of Solomon. This is just, let's get to this principle and we'll be done. I want somebody to be stirred. Lord, stir somebody up. I couldn't manufacture one thing to give anybody a vision. Lord, but your word can do it. Word of God says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. Somebody said, what in the world is that talking about? Well, this is the Song of Songs, okay? I got some notes here I'm going to try to get flipped around, see if I can. This is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So what that means is, it's of all the songs, this is number one on chart all time.
There you go.
Right? This is the number one hit. This is it. This is the best, the greatest, the highest. Let him kiss me with the kiss of his mouth for thy love. And it is the song of love. It is the song of love between the bride and the bride, between of willing surrender, of I want to know you more. I want to lay down my will. I want to lay down what I want because I know what you want is better.
Yes.
It's that, and that song is better than wine. What does wine speak of? Say it again. And redemption. It also speaks of redemption. There was a song of redemption. But the song of love is better than the song of redemption. Now you say, what are you talking about? I didn't say that. You can't get to the song of love without redemption. You can't get there. But the song of love is sweeter. It's better. I'm leaving it at that. But let him kiss me with a kiss of, what is a kiss? Think about it. I want us to talk about it a little bit now. And we know stuff because we've been taught, and I thank God for it. Look up on the internet what a kiss is. My goodness, you don't want to do it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't do that. Do not. I tried to just look up like the meaning of like an Eastern kiss. Yeah, well, still, don't do that. There's 100 different people telling you. The thing about it is, kiss is about like love. It's so all-encompassing. It's like a way of speaking without speaking almost. But I'll tell you one thing. Reverend Hicks said in her book that in the Eastern countries, it was a way of repenting and receiving forgiveness. And I thought about that a little bit. I cogitated on that quite a bit. And I thought, you know, you're not going to kiss anybody you that you have a grudge against. I'm not going to offer. I'm talking about a peck on the cheek to my grandma or all the way down to my grandkids or some brother. I kiss people a lot. Y'all just forgive me. Get over it. I'm secure in my manhood. I am. But I'm not going to go hug Brother Jim's neck and kiss and give him a brotherly kiss on the cheek if I got something against him. And I ain't going to kiss Brother Jim's wife either, just so you know. When I said that, I kiss my wife and sometimes I kiss my brothers in the Lord.
This is getting weird.
I sense that, so I'm trying to get out of it. That was it. But you're reading this, and some people that think that this book shouldn't be in the Bible. But we don't care about them people because they don't know what they're talking about. Just to clear that up. Let him kiss me with a kiss of his mouth. So just think of it in terms of intimate, of forgiveness, of love. And the first thing that she's charging for and needing and asking for is for his forgiveness. Now, somebody tell me what Jesus said about forgiveness and about us forgiving. Forgive 70 times 7. And what did he say when he was teaching his apostles how to pray? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us, in one place it's translated, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. So one of the first preparation the bride had to make was to receive these kisses of forgiveness to learn how to forgive people. Let him kiss me. Now, what? And who's kissing her? The bridegroom, right? Who is the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. What does the book of Revelation say his name is? Anybody know? I mean, yeah, it says a lot of different things. I'm going to just give you this one. The Word of God. The Word of God. And if you have ever been kissed by the Word, if you've ever stayed in your study, stayed in your prayer closet, studied something, prayed on it, Brother Reeves, meditated on it a couple of days, and God's kissed you with his Word, There ain't nobody you won't want to forgive to make sure you can get another experience like that. So right off the bat, he had, and why did he do that? Let's go to verse 6. I'm not going to keep you very long. Where am I? Word of God says, look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun hath looked upon me.
Right.
My mother's children were angry with me.
Yep.
They made me the keeper of the vineyards.
Yep.
But mine own vineyard have I not kept. What I want to focus on is right in the middle. My mother's children were angry with me. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you call your mother's children, brother? Your brothers and sisters. Yeah. Who are our brothers and sisters? If you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ,
yes,
you're my brother.
That's right.
Now, The reason why this had to be the first preparation that the bride had to get was to be able to forgive, because as soon as she emerged from, right in between here, what happened is she went into the chambers with the bridegroom. And being in direct contact with the bride gave her an appearance recorded here as black, which is the color of humility. So as soon as she came out of the chambers, her mother's, she was greeted with, "Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you decided to go on for God and be in the bride." Is that what she got greeted with?
No.
She got greeted with hostility. From who? From somebody she never met?
No.
From the enemy?
No.
No, from her brothers and sisters. From the people that didn't have a vision. We're going to be misunderstood by people who don't have a vision of being in the bride. And that, listen, we need to know that so we can move onward, upward, and forward. But that don't affect, I still love them. I'm not against anybody. They're still saved. They can still have a relationship. Look, here's the thing. People get sometimes maybe offended, maybe jealous, maybe whatever, because somebody's got something or thinks they got something that they don't have. But there's no reason for us to ever do that.
Right.
Because if we see something that somebody's got, all we got to do is ask the Lord.
Yes.
He's no respecter of person. He'll if you pay the price, if you want to do whatever it takes to get into a certain level of growth or if you long to have a spiritual gift, he said if you pray in Jesus' name,
right,
your prayers will be answered. Now, we learned last time I spoke about praying in Jesus' name means praying in his nature.
Yes.
That means you're pretty much asking for stuff you know he's going to want you to have.
Right.
And he's going to give you the desire of your heart. Amen. But we know that if we see some good gift someone has, there's no reason for us to be. We got to be happy for our brothers and sisters.
Yes,
we got a place on God's will that he made us to fit right in perfect. I believe that. And we got to just desire to get wherever he wants us to be, in that spot, or if he found another one for us. Or what did Jesus himself say when he got to the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, "Man, I'm supposed to be going to the cross tomorrow, but I'm dying right now. But Lord, if you change your mind, that's okay, because you're the boss." Now, I'm paraphrasing. You're not going to find that in the Bible if you go look for what I just said. But if you're going to find that same concept. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." We're going to have to learn how to forgive.
Yes.
And we're not going to have to learn 10 years from now, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to have to learn right now.
Right.
And, you know, I've talked to a few people, and people know what's going on. Some people know what's going on in my life. Some people know more what's going on in your life. But God has got me in a thing right now. It's like a boomerang.
Wow.
I get rid of it, and it comes right back to me. But you know what he's doing? He's not trying to show me you're dumb, you're not going to make it, I'm just trying to make sure that you understand, Brother Tim, that, you know, I just saved you, and I'm not going to give you, you're not going to grow anything past. No, he's doing it because he's going, no, you got another little spot over here.
Yeah.
You got another little spot of unforgiveness over. Oh, you didn't know it, but you're mad at this guy. I'm going to show you. Well, you covered it up. You're hiding it pretty good, but I'm going to reveal it, and I'm going to make sure that you see it so you can come to me. Not so you can get down to Molly Grubbs, but so you can come to me and say, "Lord, I don't want to be unforgiving towards that person." I tell you what, if we learn to let go, all really, man, what Pastor said this morning, that when he's been teaching, I want to tell you this, Brother Reedus, Pastor's been teaching on the tactics of the enemy and fighting, and I knew you'd be interested. He called me and said, "You got that Lucifer book? I want to borrow it." I know, and I thought, man, I ain't that something? He's asking me for that book, and you've been on the last two Sundays preaching on that. He talked about this morning the seal of how to overcome the enemy.
Amen.
And on our part of that seal is the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not our life unto death. And I think people do a few things with that love not your life unto death, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You want to find out if you can not love yourself, you forgive people. Because you know why you can't forgive people? Because you're in love with your stupid self. You're not in love with your new man. You're in love with your stupid self. That's dumb one that's in there. That old man that don't want nothing but destruction for you. They don't want nothing. At all cost, if I die and everybody dies with me, as long as I'm on top when I die.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's all it matters. That's how dumb and foolish our old man is.
Yeah.
It is. When you get down to the bottom, Reverend Hicks did a convention 20 years ago and wrote a book on it, wrote a lot of books. When you get down to the bottom of man's heart, there's an old fool sitting on the throne. And everybody in here that's lived a little bit of life goes, man, that's what it is. That's all that dumb stuff I did. Let him kiss me. I'm talking about being in the bride. I understand it. I love what Brother Jerry Brown said whenever we were at men's meeting a couple years ago. He goes, man, I don't understand how I'm going to be the bride, but I'm a man. I'm like, been dealing with that my whole life too. I don't have to understand. I love that song. There's a lot of things I don't know. It don't matter. I know what I need to know. I know that he knows my name. I know Jesus. And I know he drew me and called me and brought me.
Yes.
And all I got to do is just come to school and get my desk.
Right.
Come on. That's it. Yeah. We're learning, man. I'm learning to walk under that headship. That's all I want. The more God gives me my own way, the less I want it. And we don't realize that. We think that God is tanning our hide and he ain't giving me what I want. That's your stupid flesh talking. Hang on. God's going to show. The more he gives you your way, really what he's doing, he's allowing you to see how unfruitful it is. So you can go the right way. Do the thing he made us to do. Y'all give a hand for you, Pastor. Appreciate you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is so good.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that is a twofold witness there today. We better get in our prayer closet and start kissing the Lord. Amen. Brother Timmy wasn't in here for Sunday school, but my wife was talking about that Sunday school this morning. Amen. The kisses of his mouth and how it's a mouth of gratitude. Mouth of gratitude. Huh? Not quite, but, you know. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But that's powerful. You know, you was talking about that verse 6, and the whole time I was sitting there thinking about Joseph. Look at verse number 6, and look at Joseph and how Joseph, he just came out loving the Lord. He just came out loving, you know, and his father, and that love that was between them. His brothers hated him for it. Thank you, Jesus. But he never hated them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And look at all the years later that God orchestrated them to come together and him show them forgiveness. Whew. That's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. We're so grateful. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. All right. Well, we love you all. I'm so glad. Amen. If we could, let's all stand, Brother Reese. Okay. Yeah. But, amen. Brother Tim, Sister Jacqueline, y'all would step in for them. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and if y'all come.